is RSVNB Update, episode 359, recorded Friday, May 4th, 2012. The Rune Attention Span. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of RSVNB Update. We are here this week with the usual J1, J2, J3.
Do you really have to spell my name out like that?
Yes, I do, because it's such a simple name to spell.
Spell and count.
Yes. And that other voice you hear is Devo. He's here for the obvious reason of this week's update, the rune span, because he has 99 runecrafting and did runecrafting. Did you do ZMI or did you do the old-fashioned way of nature wrap?
I did ZMI, actually, okay. for the most way, yeah.
All right. So, that being said, this week's feature update is the rune span, which is actually what last Saturday's little thing turned out to be for those of you guys who missed the show last Saturday. So, I think it's safe to say that after the little thing on Saturday, we weren't impressed with that we basically went to see this little portal appear, and that's all that happened, I'm guessing.
I didn't catch it, but are you talking about the see the future thing?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard that was... It's an interesting concept. I wasn't able to see it because I had school stuff going on. But yeah, it'd be cool if they do that with some more updates. Just kind of give a little preview, get people excited about it, rather than having all this speculation. I mean, they post all these pictures on, Facebook and Twitter and stuff. I think it's cool to actually have like a little interactive thing.
The thing is it was hyped up so much that I don't know if the rune span lives up to that.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I could see how that would be trouble.
Well, we'll talk about rune span when we get to it.
Well, we are at it right now. So rune span. This is the result of, as they said, a RuneFest 2011 You Be the Judge session. So the attendees chose the new runecrafting training method as a choice of 5 potential updates. Be interesting to see what the other 4 were. But I guess it's no surprise that runecrafting went out because, you know, runecrafting is known as such a slow skill that it takes to level in even with the ZMI altar's help. So I think ZMI is what, at best... 40, 50K an hour?
I was able to get about 45K, like full attention, not talking to anybody, not really paying attention to clan chat, stuff like that. I'd say 45 pushing it. 35 more relaxed, I would say.
Okay. So that is the whole reason why we have RuneSpan here. So it's a little plane. You access it by going into the Wizard's Guild. There's 3 floors. The first floor is starting at level 1. The second floor, what floor does the second floor start at?
I don't know about levels.
Yeah, see, because we have this, we all have the necessary levels, so it wasn't really a problem for us.
Yeah, but I just kind of found the fastest way to get to the top. But, I mean, like I said, I don't know of an exact level. I'm trying to think of the lowest...
33 is the middle floor.
Is it? Okay.
And 66 is the upper floor.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. So, anyways, there's 3 floors, and of course they're divided up by whatever amount of XP you'll be getting on that floor. So, of course, the lower level floor is the lowest XP, medium range, moderate XP, and then all the good XP is on the top level floor for people who have level 90 runecrafting plus in the 80s, 70s, so... Pretty much this mini game on the upper level floor, there's a place where everybody can feel at home and be successful in doing their rune spinning.
Right.
So, what was your guys' first impression when you went to RuneSpan and experienced this form of training method, being that it's so different than the runecrafting training method that we already know?
I'll let one of you go first.
Well, Trek, you can go first then.
Oh, no. Host goes first.
Oh, fine. Well, for me, I was very impressed with it because one thing stood out initially is that it's not a grind in the same way that traditional runecrafting is grind, which is you follow one path and you just keep doing that path over and over and over again until you're blue in the face. So that was a welcome change for me with RuneSpan, being the fact that it wasn't grind-based and you can actually move around and do stuff differently than you can in the real world. So there's no, like, you can stay in one spot and just keep siphoning certain creatures, or you can move to other places and siphon other creatures as well. So what a siphon is basically there's these floating pieces of rune essence. You grab the rune essence, and then with that you can either siphon, I think they're called S-Wraiths, and what are the
lowest level? It's it goes up to fire, I believe, and those are S-lings. Those are little skeletal, like, right, rodent things, and then they start. Its body through law is S-hounds, which are obviously like dogs, looking creatures, wolves, and then you have the top three tier, which are S-Wraiths, which are blood, death, and soul, obviously give the most XP.
There we go.
Among the creatures, but we'll get into that. Nodes give more experience than creatures for obvious reasons that nodes appear randomly. So, I mean, you can grind the creatures, but you'll be getting less XP for, because the creatures will, they seriously spawn every 3 seconds. Like, yeah, after it dies, 3 seconds later it pops right back up, and they will always pop up right in the same spot, just like any monster. So mm-hmm. you can camp the creatures, but like I said, you will get significantly less, almost half the experience from a creature than you will a node. So it is kind of encouraged to go around and find your respective nodes.
Yeah, so that's I think the whole thing that was interesting to me is that you actually have the incentive to go around and find the different nodes. And there was a bit of a problem later in the first day when it came out that the node spawn rate went down significantly. So everybody was thinking, oh, this is the nerf. This was too good to be true. And we're going to have to just camp the S-Wraiths and S-Hounds now because the nodes are too uncommon. But that was later fixed, and the node spawn rates are back to normal. So,
actually, from what I remember from hearing from someone else, is that after they came back, there was another glitch where where the pool did not disappear at all, and it stayed for at least 30 minutes or so for each one.
Wow.
So I remember I was talking to some random people around, and they said during the glitch, I was siphoning the soul nodes. Wow, I'll try saying that 5 times fast. They were siphoning that thing up, and they said like within 30 minutes they got almost 200k of experience or so.
Wow.
Just, you know, because it didn't disappear, it just stayed there forever.
Yeah, so nodes are incredibly fast XP. But continuing with my thoughts, the whole point of moving around is what I like about it. It's like why I like farming, because you can move around when you farm. So this is kind of the same thing, or the same idea, rather. And that's a good thing for me. The rewards, I'm not really that excited about. But you're going to the RuneSpan is to get the pouch, the XP.
Right. Yeah, I am kind of underwhelmed with the rewards. I feel like they could have given a little bit more. I feel like it was a bit of a cop-out with the Wicked gear because it's basically just agile, pretty much.
Well, a little bit less than agile.
A little bit less agile, but still the same concept. It didn't really have a unique effect. I mean, the only reason you would get that is for the weight reduction, obviously. And the esteem is an interesting concept. But I'm kind of disappointed that it serves no other purpose than cosmetic. And at that fact, it's very unnoticeable. It's just a tiny little mark on each thing. It's, you know, if I'm gonna spend over 200 hours of my time runecrafting to get Esteem 1 rank, I want it to be prevalent. You know, I don't just want it to be some little dot on my shoulder type thing, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what Esteem is.
Almost a title. As much as I despise titles, I would have one if it, you know, showed my prevalence in runecrafting type of thing. But it's a tiny little tattoo type thing. It doesn't really do it for
me. You know, they had to add something so that the people who already have completionist capes would be able to dominate the RuneSpan just like that. Because you do need to purchase Esteem level 1 in order to get your completionist cape back.
Well, trimmed. trimmed.
Yes, but that's true. But in any case, that's pretty much what I think about it. Two more aspects of it, aside from the little creatures, the S-lings, the S-hounds, and the S-wraiths, and then you got the nodes. There's also the rune spheres. Now, I haven't seen any of these rune spheres out and about.
I have not seen them. There's been multiple occasions where, you know, one has appeared, but the first time it appeared, I was debating on whether I should go find it because I had no idea, you know, I had no idea how long it lasted. You know, it's like, okay, if it's only going to be there 10 minutes, why would I go and, you know, just wander around if I'm going to waste time? Well, it turns out it's there for an hour no matter what, unless it's taken before then. But I also didn't realize that it's on one of the three floors, not just your floor.
Yes,
so
that's
I searched
exactly
my entire floor.
I
searched my entire floor for about a half an hour and I couldn't find it. And they're like, oh, well, it's on like floor one. So it's, you know what? If it's not on your floor, if you don't hear people talking about it, I'd say don't worry about it. I haven't physically, like I said, I haven't gotten to one and seen how much XP there is. Maybe it is worth it. So don't quote me on that. But I mean, I just, until I get some XP rates on, you know, if it appears and you find it, go for it. But if it's been there for 45 minutes or something, I'd say just stay where you're at, you know?
Yeah. the same thing, I guess, could be said for the wizard, because it's about, I think, the most XP I've seen is about 5,100 XP from it. I know that in the time I was searching for the wizard, I passed lots of nodes, and I could have been getting XP from that instead. So I don't think that... like, if you find the wizard, that's good, but it's not something you want.
I usually don't go looking for the wizard. I have a general area I stay in, and if I see a blue wizard, I will go and have him point me in the direction I will go to him. But regarding on how much he gives, I did a little test, and it says you can give him the runes he asks for, or you can give him your highest. And, you know, the XP will depend on that. So the first few times I would give him soul runes because, like, okay, that's mainly what I siphon, you know, so I have tons of them and it's obviously the highest rune you can do. So I gave him soul runes and I got about, I want to say 6.5K.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, that's good. And then another time he asked for like mind runes. I was like, okay, I'll try it just to see. So I gave him 10 mind runes and I got 7.5K. So no matter what he asked for, I mean, it could be air runes and you could have 1,000 soul runes. Give him what he asked for and he will give you more than your best. So, and at 99, I'm almost 22 million experience. I get about 7.5K for fulfilling his request. So,
and that's a decent boost considering that.
It is a very decent boost.
The olden days of rune crafting, it would take you about,
that's about 15 trips or so. Yeah.
get that much XP. So.
Right.
Well, I think, Dave, you want to give your thoughts in general on the update?
Also, we were talking about nodes giving more experience than creatures. Also, you have the pure nodes, which are basically they only have water, they only have fire, only air. But there's some that are combination, right? So there's like Firestorm, which is a combination of fire and air. You have Vines, which are water and earth. You have like Undead Soul, which is a combination of death and soul. I mean, there's not a combination for everyone.
Skulls.
Yeah, those are pretty cool. There's not a combination for everyone, but there's a decent amount. Anyway, what I'm getting at is the combination ones will give you more XP for what you get than if you were just doing the single one. So say, for example, I siphon Living Soul, which is nothing but soul, and I'll get 213 experience for successfully siphoning one time from the soul. Now, when I do Undead Soul, it's randomly chosen which one is siphoned, death or soul, and it'll go back and forth. But if I siphon a soul rune from Undead Soul, I'll get 256. So I'm getting more from the combination each time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so always go for the combination because...
Always go for the combination. And, you know, it's a vine, which is earth and water. I haven't tested this, but just for an example, a vine may give more experience than if you were to siphon pure fire type of thing. Pure fire, you know, might give 35, as to where a vine, you're switching back between 30 and 25. So you're actually pulling ahead there. So just something to think about. It's not always the best idea to go after the highest possible thing if there's a combo that's a little bit lower. So just to switch it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
As for my thoughts, I'm going to go with Shane. I was really hyped up about this just because runecrafting has really not seen an update in training methods since 2004 when it was released.
Yeah, that's true.
A very, very, very big overhaul to the skill, and people will say, well, you have Great Orb Project, blah, blah. Yeah, but that's not really another way to train. You know, sure, they updated, you can make deaths, bloods, you know, stuff like that. ZMI, that's great, but even with ZMI, you're still running to an altar, and you know, you're just you're still making runes. It's not an alternate method. As to where, you know, you got fire making, you can burn logs, or you can go to Jadenko layer, that type of thing. Definitely adds variety. I'll just go ahead and go into how it'll probably affect the economy, because that's the first thing that I was kind of thinking of.
And of note, we actually do have a question on this later.
We do.
So take the answer to this question now, Marking.
Right. Okay, so basically how I see it is the only reason people would runecraft and make, you know, runes and stuff was for the experience. You know, a lot of people, you know, they're training runecrafting, it's like, oh, I'm going to make tons of money. So people are going, everyone that wants to train runecrafting obviously is going to do the fastest method. There's no level restrictions like IV where you need 77 runecrafting to start getting the good XP. You just start from one. So everyone's going to use a rune span for XP. So therefore, no one's going to be making runes as much as they used to. So the demand for runes is going to go through the roof. Right, and in theory, this is all my speculation.
We hope so, because you know there's a huge surplus of runes still out on the market. I mean, runecrafting has been out since RuneScape 2, and everybody's making runes every day. But continue.
So in theory, what I'm hoping, and I'm sure what most people that have thought about the same thing are hoping, demand for runes skyrocket. Okay, so because people aren't making runes, also people aren't making runes. People aren't buying essence, therefore the demand is going to go way low, so people are going to be dumping for ridiculously low prices. And I've been checking the GE every day semi-regularly, and natures have been going, I'm just using natures because that's what everybody, that's the most crafted basically for XP. So natures are going up gradually, but they're going up, and I checked essence and they are plummeting. So in theory, for the diehard runecrafters or the people like myself that used it for a decent income method before the 2009 RC curve that, you know, all of us love so dearly, they were 99 at the time, that was my way of making money. So hopefully now this will, you know, the ideal situation of making S very cheap and making runes very high, increasing the profit margin. So, you know, like I said, for people that really do enjoy runecrafting or want to make money, can do it, and the people that want to just do it for experience can also do it. In essence, everyone's happy, so I'm really not going to bash this update. I mean, sure, RC is nerfed, but it's in a way that is fairly balanced, because each party gets what they want, if
okay.
That makes sense.
So, and another thing on the same tone, do you feel this will be devaluing the skill, making it not as rare as it was before? This was Marking's second question as well.
Devaluing is very relative. I do agree that, yes, it's going to be less, quote-unquote, respected. Not so much to where it's going to be below like cooking or fletching. Not that there's anything wrong with, you know, cooking or fletching. I'm a skiller, so every 99 is a 99, but it's generally accepted, you know, cooking, oh, that's just a cheap, easy skill. As I was saying before the show, you know, people, the same could be said about Slayer. When people get bored, they'll go and train Slayer because it's fun. It's interactive. It's, you know, it's different. I really don't think the rune span is going to make people, oh, I'm bored, I'm going to go runecraft and, you know, just get 99 type of thing. I mean, as with any skill, 13 million experience is a lot of experience. And it's, you know, I have 99 construction, and I was easily pulling off like 350K an hour. And, you know, runespan is nothing like that. And I still think construction is a, you know, fairly respected or valuable cape. It's just expensive. So, you know, I really don't think it's gonna make it a, you know, a less valuable cape. Sure, you're going to have the people that are like, oh, nice cape, get that from RuneSpan. Oh, you're just a RuneSpan product, you know. Okay, well, if you're worried about that, then keep going. Just, you know, like, you know, I got 99 runecrafting, and when the RuneSpan came out, I had 20.4 million experience. You know, so I'm not a product of RuneSpan. I just enjoy runecrafting. So, I mean, if you're really afraid of people thinking you're some, you know, if you're really that uptight about people, you know, judging you on, oh, you're just, you have it easy, then, you know, just keep going. I mean, I'd like to get in the top, you know, 1K ranks. That's always been one of my things. Sure, it's easy now, but, you know, with a RuneSpan, people aren't going to go past 13 mil. Rarely do people go past 13 mil. You know, you see somebody that's maxed, you know, if they're not in the top 1K overall, you know, you got cooking, okay, that's sitting at 13 mil experience. You got fletching, that's sitting at 13 mil experience. You have thieving, you know, that's at like 20 mil. You know, it's really not too much, because once they get 99, they're sick of it and it's over. So,
okay.
You know, I'm rambling.
So it's not going to be the next, it's not going to be the next pyramid plunder or fletching types.
Definitely not. It's like I said, it's not 350K experience an hour. It's, if at most, it's doubled what, ZMI was at 99. So take that for what it's worth.
All right. So Trekkie, what do you think of RuneSpan in general?
All right. I don't know where to start now after listening to you two. No, sad fact, Shane. I actually do not like this update.
Okay.
I don't like it at all.
Why not?
Because I love it too much.
My head just exploded.
I don't get that.
So, because you remember during the double weekend,
double
experience weekend, and both of us tried to do a ZMI for runecrafting, and you and I both had that same problem after 5 minutes in. My brain is about to...
Well, it was about 2 hours for me. But
All right. My plus or minus then. But both of us were basically getting sick and tired of trying to get up that next level. And, you know, we wasted many hours and we didn't get that far, if you remember correctly. It took you, what, like 3 hours to get the next level or so, or something like that? Yeah, so, you know, and that's double weekend. So you can imagine how slow it would be regularly. Well, with this one, though, they really cut off the grind of having to, you know, keep paying attention to...
But isn't that a good thing?
Hey, you know, to each his own.
Yeah, but it all comes down to, I mean, you had prayer and you have pray all now. I mean, it's, in essence, as sad as it is, I think it's pretty obvious they're moving to a skill X with all skills. Just here, have your... I mean, with the, you have behind the scenes May. Maybe we haven't got to it yet, but I'm just going to touch on it real quick. You got the bonfires, okay. I'm assuming you're going to have a full inventory log. You're just going to be able to dump them in. You know, it takes away the grinding factor of fire making. So, I mean, I feel like it's just kind of all coming together and just becoming easier and easier and easier and easier. But, I mean, what else can you do when you update a game like that? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can only add so many skills every so often. You can only make other skills faster, easier, you know, et cetera. But continue. So, I'm sorry.
Trek, is that why you don't like it or...?
It wasn't that. It was the fact that, you know, it's just really boring and tedious, and walking doesn't really do you any good.
Well, see, and there's another case right there is why it may not be devalued. People might just say, "Dear God, this is more boring than like running and having to pay attention." You know, I can just AFK this like Ivy. This is stupid. I'm not going to do this, and then they'll just drop it for good. So, I mean, like you said, to each his own. You know, got mixed feelings on it. So,
okay.
Well, if you know those who managed to pay attention all the way getting to 99 runecrafting at the you know before this update, by all means, you know, great. You have more attention span than most of the other population who play this game. Those of us who are really a little tired of constantly, you know, about to doing the death nod as we're trying to do runecrafting. RuneSpan fits that category perfectly because you can do all the other little things, maybe chit chat and interact with other people around than just staring, click, 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 right, click, 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 F3, click. But, you know, I found, here's the other thing that you guys haven't touched on though, is that with this update, there's also been a lot of new level requirements. So, and they're all relatively close together. Okay, so, you know, case in point, I'm at level 77 runecrafting, and I need 83 to suck up the blood ones. Well,
to get to the level 77, yeah, the bloody skulls. So I need 80. I can't remember what I needed 80 for. I remember I needed 80 for something. I needed 80 to do something in RuneSpan. I can't remember what it was. So I got from 77 and I was getting to 80. But once you get to 80, you're like, you know what? I'm only 3 levels away from using the bloody skulls. I might as well train for another 3 more levels. All right? You get to 3 or more levels. You know what? I'm only 2 levels away from crossing the gap to get to the soul place.
The increments are so close, it just keeps you going and going and going
Suddenly you're like, all right, let's get the other 2 levels. All right, I'm at 85 now. Hey, I'm only 5 levels away from siphoning from the soul essence rates. Let's get me 5 more levels. Hey, I'm now at 90 runecrafting. Hey, 1 more level, I can do double nets. Let's get to 91. Hey, now I have double nets. Let's go make some money. So
I think you just nailed the whole point of RuneSpan.
Yeah, that's basically it.
And that's a good point because I would have never really considered that. I mean, obvious point. I go in there and I can just do everything. But that is a very good point because I did notice. I checked all the requirements. You know, it's like 87, 89, 92. It's like, wow. You know,
so it's really like, hey, you want this level? Go to RuneSpan. You know, you can get this level a whole lot faster. And, you know, for those who want to make money, the nature runes, death runes, everything are all still there. You can do that. And with prices fluctuating right now, you know, it's a buying market.
So if
you want to do that and save up, and then once you get to 91, you can, you know, do double nats for all the way to 99, go for it. You'll make more money and, you know, you're happy. And also at 91, you get the pouch. The 18
RuneSpan almost being a crutch type of thing. Like, oh, I'm kind of sick of this. I'll go to RuneSpan, train up till I can make these runes type of thing, as to where, you know, you had to make runes because that's the only way you could get XP type of thing. So, you know, kind of as I was saying and as you're reiterating, RuneSpan is going to be XP, and then that's going to affect the market as to where traditional crafting is going to be the money-making side.
And also notice that you get the massive pouch at level 90.
Yes. Yes. Which is, you know, once you get right before 91. 90. Yeah. If you're 90, hey, you might as well get 91 and then use that pouch to craft nature runes. So mm-hmm. then you get to 91, and then, hey, I'm almost to 93, then I can use effigies, and then 95, et cetera, all the way. Hey, you notice, you're already 99 runecrafting, and that's talking maybe...
You sound very excited about this. Why is it why are you calling it a bad thing, then?
I didn't call it a bad thing.
Okay, well, why don't you like it, then?
Dave, would you explain to him, please?
What are you trying to bring across, and I'll try my best.
Shane... You didn't listen to the second part I said, did you?
No, I guess I missed it. I said
I do not like RuneSpan. I love it.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
Evo, could you please smack for me faster than I am?
Oh, I thought you were... I thought you were wrapping up to a climax or something where you were going to tell us why you hated the thing.
Yeah, I think what he thought is you said I hate it because I like it so much, and I was like, "What? That's a paradox." What?
I thought he was ramping up to a point where he'd say he hated it because
like everything's so good
because it was making him addicted or something.
Yeah, right.
Because here's the thing, Devo, congrats to you getting ruined at 99 runecrafting, but I could not do ZMI altar for 20 minutes without me about to fall asleep.
Right.
And, you know, what I like RuneSpan is I can be doing other things and actually talk more with other people about, you know, different, you know, having more, quote unquote, social life in the game while doing RuneCrafting, which is, you know, also very nice to do.
Oh, but, tricky. You also need level 90 for the greater runic staff.
Yeah. So, you know, as I said, you get 90 and then, hey, I'm only 1 level away to crafting that. Let's get 91. Hey, I'm only 2 levels to doing effigies. Let's go 93 and so on and so on.
Tricky. Sorry, go ahead.
I expect a lot of people to get 99 runecrafting. You know, that's a given. This is relatively, really easy, and you know, it's not mind numbing.
Right, and like Turkey was saying, how it's the increments are so close together to keep you going. We haven't touched on this, but I think it's fairly general knowledge now. Massive pouches degrade, right? And when they degrade, they disappear. Well, they disappear though. So you don't just buy one pouch and it's gone. Or, you know, just buy one pouch and you have it. You use it. It has 42 uses, which is an insane amount. Times 18, that's like 760, I don't know. It's 700 something.
756.
So, there you go. It's in there somewhere. But 42 uses 18. Okay, so it's 1K points for that. Well, after it degrades, you can't use your pouch repair. It just goes away like a ring of dueling would. So it's 1K points. Okay, your pouch goes away. Oh, I think I'll go back to Runespan and get 1K points. Well, that 1K points turns into 100K more experience. Well, that's 100K more experience to that next level if you're not 99. Oh, well, not, you know, and it just feeds off each other because the rewards, you just have to keep going back and back and back and buying these pouches if you want to use it. So they really tied this all together. And with
it's a great update.
Yeah, it really is. And I'll give them credit for that because this is one of their best updates, I would say, of the year, if not of all time. But, you know, everybody
fingers
says that.
Fingers crossed that it has sticking power unlike other things in the past.
I think
that's
well,
thing
I mean,
that they keep missing.
But, you know, here's the other thing about the reward system, since we're going to touch on that anyway. You know, most of us don't really care for the staff. The staff is not that great.
I was going to bring that up, the staff.
Right, well, you go first then. You go first on that.
Basically, all the staffs are is they can be aligned to a specific magic spell, kind of like the Polypore staff, except they can hold any spell. So let's say you want to go combating at the glaciers or something. You get a greater runic staff, give it 1,000 fire surges or whatever, and then you can be on lunars to do whatever else you need to do on that. So I personally like the idea of the staffs, but go ahead with whatever you're gonna say.
Well, you know, the staff, the staff, those who want to train magic, it's there. Go ahead and use it. That's great for those. But, you know, the other thing that they're also offering as a reward is the outfit, which basically you and I talked about this, Shane, is that all they really do is just give a negative weight.
Mm-hmm. Well, and little extra boost on the essence per day you get.
Well, and see, that's the thing. I'm a little disappointed there as well. You know, they say they were very vague and shady when they were, it gives, quote, you know, it enhances the Wicked Hood. Well, tell me. Okay, well, I had to go in and, you know, I went to the wiki and I did all this research to see what it actually did. And you're paying 15K points for the robe top, which gives, like, one extra teleport, okay? The bottoms give, you know, X amount of more essence a day. Now, I really, you know, it's maybe me, and this is just coming from a high-level perspective, everyone has their own opinions, but I don't really want 100 rune essence. I mean, at least give me like pure essence. You know, it's just like you're giving me 100 rune essence. It's like, okay, here's some chat. I'll go throw it in my driveway. Like, I can't use that because you really can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
If you're gonna have significant updates, and if you're gonna have me spend 15K points on a piece of rope, give me 10 teleports a day, or give me, you know, 5. Give me something significant, not just like, oh, now I have 3. Thanks, I'm glad I did that. Or, you know, upgrade it to you get pure essence instead of rune essence, or you get, you know,
just
something of the sort. It's just, it seems sort of very low levelish for
and
the
also
upgrades.
The robes are not good if you have already have the agile set, because the agile set gives you a lower weight reduction boost. So, you know, if you have that, there's really no point to get the robes.
Right.
Me and Shane were talking about before, we did a little quick number crunch, and the only thing that setout gives that's better than what's currently out is the cape. Cape, yes, gives you a slightly less weight than the spottier cape.
But I'm still hoping we'll get a spottiest cape one day.
Yeah, so see what happens. That's a lot of spots.
Anyways, but I hate to interrupt such a good discussion
that,
on this.
One will, that one will make you fly. You'll have so much negative weight, you'll just lift off.
So. Hey, maybe we can actually start flying around the island then.
There you go. Alternate mode of transportation, along with the hunting update. There you go.
Yeah, but I hate to interrupt the good discussion on Runespan. I think we've covered enough of it. But we need to move on because we got other RuneScape news to discuss. But, you know, it's a way of completely changing the way people are going to train runecrafting. So we spend half an hour on it. That's fine. So.
This isn't RuneSpan update as much as we'd like it to be.
Yeah.
This is RSPNB update. So we shall continue.
But basically, rewards, not so great. You're probably going to save a lot of
the
points
XP.
For the pouches then. You're probably going to save up a lot of pouches, and the robes are not worth it unless you want that little extra thing or you think it looks good on you.
Focus on the XP.
Definitely switch it up. Don't try to really grind here. I mean, grinding is grinding, but I wouldn't recommend just standing on one island, clicking the same thing, I think you'll be more rewarded. I mean, maybe at a 99, level 99, it's, you know, that's all you really can do. But if you're lower level trying to get levels, explore. I really do encourage it. There's all kinds of stuff. Go node hunting. I really do encourage the wizard. I'm still kind of shady on the rune sphere. Do that at your own, do that on your own time or at your own risk. But definitely explore, take it all in, and I think you will be rewarded. So.
Yep. All right. So tweaks and fixes from this week. Not that they're anything major, but as we did say, you do need rank one esteem in the rune span for the trimmed completionist cape, which is a reason for them to do that. And also, over the next week, you'll find lilies of the valley once again growing in grassy areas of RuneScape, since it is that time of year. And this one's for you, Trekkie, since you enjoyed this update when it came out. The Flash Powder Factory was slightly lower than intended, the XP rate, and has now been increased by approximately 10%.
Yay! I'll do that after I get 80 runecrafting.
And then you'll get the Flash Powder and you realize, oh, I'm so close to another runecrafting level. I'm going to go back to RuneSpan. Oh, well, I can get a massive pouch now. Oh my gosh, I'm so close to 85 now. You know what? I'll just get it.
That's exactly what I was feeling when I got 70. It's like, you know what? I'm really close to 80. I might as well just get it. Hey, at 80, I can get to 83 and I can do that. I was like, oh my God, I see a trend going on here.
I apologize, Shane. I'm just naturally like gravitating towards RuneSpan. Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would be the same way if this was a farming update.
See, there you go. There you go. All right. Anyway.
Okay. So release notes for the week. I really don't have anything to mention here. Unless, well, there's one thing. From Desert Treasure, Damis' lair is no longer bright white when bloom lighting is enabled.
I wouldn't know. I did that quest about 4 years ago. So.
Yeah, when it first came out. 120 Dungeoneering is now announced in the broadcast system. Broadcasts now appear only once for each achievement. Grand Exchange armor sets are now using the correct derived prices based on their components in the trade tracker. checks around bot squeals, but fortune spins have been made tighter to prevent players from not receiving them. the MakeX interface now shows cutting red topaz as the cut version instead of the uncut. Big deal.
That was really stressing me out. I'm glad they fixed that. Quieter.
Which one?
The red topaz. That was really stressing me out. That's been killing me. If you can't sense the sarcasm, we can move on.
That's something. Right. Actually, that's what that's a certain someone we know who has a little problem with little things like this.
Oh, I gotcha.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Anyways, moving on. Performance improvement update. So this is the update that everybody's been waiting for. It's almost as important as RuneSpan in that it's increased the frame rate of the game. They say, as many of you will be aware, some of our previous anti-bot initiatives caused an adverse effect on the frame rate and performance of the game. The game engine team has been working very hard on solutions to this, and this update should bring significant increases in overall playability for the vast majority of those affected, noticeably on more so lower-spec computers. And this is true. I've talked to people who had issues before not being able to run the game. Now it's up to a playable frame rate, 20-25 frames per second. Some people are actually able to run RSHD now when they previously weren't able to. So overall, this is a good update. And also with this, this update also includes more adjustments to the engine, which will significantly disrupt bots.
I wonder, would that be what we were talking about before, or would there be another update in the future that would do more?
You know, I think this was the second part of the bot nuke. They just didn't make that big of a deal out of it because it was expected. And they say that these changes are part of our ongoing efforts to continually improve performance of the game as well as combat bots. And we have further updates in these areas planned for the next few months. At times, we may go a little quiet in these areas. This is because it's often hard to share details of what we're working on without giving bot makers information they can use to their advantage. Rest assured, though, we understand that how these issues affect how you play and enjoy the game, so solving them is paramount importance to us. And, you know, this is true. It did greatly reduce the number of bots in-game, so I'm happy about that. And I think it also helped my performance just a little bit. So,
yeah.
Overall, good update. Do you guys notice any performance boosts?
Well, right now I'm running up between 35 to 40 frames per second. And my rune span with all the white stuff flying all over. So I think that's good. Okay. Big test will be in going to Taverly and see how that is.
Yeah, I haven't gone there yet.
What about you, Greg? I'm not one that, you know, lags like crazy. But yeah, I do notice that it's run a little smoother. You know, like I said, I'm not just chugging along, but I do have the occasional you know, lag spike or, you know, something. You know, I'll go to the GE and it'll just kind of putt along. But yeah, I've noticed it being a lot smoother. So
putt.
Yay.
Putt. Okay, Wild Weekends. So this is the first of four Wild Weekends in May. For this weekend only, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, we've increased your chances to win big and bag yourself some of the horns and tattoos from Squeal of Fortune.
We all like that, right? Yes.
A selection of horns and tattoos will be added to the uncommon and common slots on the Squeal of Fortune. This massively increases the chances of winning those items, so don't miss out. Spin this weekend, see if you can claim prestigious and fantastic-looking prizes.
So you guys, you could get a bunch of horns, or you get 50 GP. So I'll let you decide. I'd probably take the 50 GP. So I mean, it's whatever
I'll take the horns. I need a new horn.
Oh, there you go.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if this actually happens, because I've yet to land on one of the red squares. On Squeal, yeah. Most of the time it's either white or yellow.
I've landed on them plenty of times, and you know, it'll either give me an uncut sapphire or three U logs. So it's like, okay, screw you two. You know, it's. I don't know. We won't get into it. Just move on.
Yeah, I think this is one of the first Wild Weekends that, you know, this is going to be a relatively tame one compared to what's coming. But who knows what'll be coming in the other three weekends?
So, double dungeoneering token. Weekend.
Oh yeah, that'd be nice.
That would be nice.
All right. Behind the scenes, May. We've already talked about May Madness, so we don't need to mention that. Just the fact that every weekend there'll be something different. Extra 5K loyalty points at the end of the month, and a 250K worth of double XP boosts. Now, I was trying to figure that out. Does that mean you get 250k XP for doing 125k XP work, or do you do 250k XP and have it doubled?
I don't know. I guess I could. I don't know. Right, if it's 250 bonus or 250 total is what you're saying.
250k's worth of double XP boost. That's all it says.
Yeah, that's kind of
questionable.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, I'm just going to run through these behind the scenes quickly, because we are short on time. We got two other things we need to mention before we move on to the questions. Bonfires, as we mentioned. So long lines of fires are one of the strangest phenomena you can run into when traversing the world of RuneScape, but they remain the easiest way of training your fire-making skill for years, and that's about to change this month as we add bonfires to the game.
I'm not going to get into a long discussion, but I'm just going to say I'm pretty excited about that. I'm interested to see how that works, and I'll probably be training fire making with it. So,
you know what I'm really looking forward to, Shane, with this update with the bonfire, is that, you know, you'll be able to, instead of
burn people at the stake.
Well, that too. We can throw a couple people I know in it, and you know who those are. And you have a couple of names, which, yeah. So anyway, you know, what I'm really looking forward to is, you know, if they ever have a double weekend, and then I can go to my Citadel, or, you know, anyone who wants to train fire making, let's start a bonfire so and so, and everybody comes onto the little world, and we all just start throwing throwing wood into the fire, and then we'll have one person that has 99 fire making already be like, dude, tell us a ghost story. And then we dim out all the lights.
Yeah, see,
once upon a time.
And you know, that's what they say. It's going to be inviting other players to add logs to your fire, and everybody contributing will gain bonuses to their fire-making XP gain.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm smelling a new monthly RSBNB event. Just saying. You know, we're going to have storytelling. just going to throw that out there. And, you know, if it comes to that, I will lead the event. So you heard it here. So there
I
you
could
go.
Tell some good... good conservative stories. Hey,
Shane. Oh, no. Oh, Shane, has to be RuneScape related. No, not going to happen.
Get out your guitar. We're all singing conservative campfire songs.
Let's gather around the campfire and sing this campfire song. Let's C-A-M-P-F-I-R-E-S-O-N.
But if we do that, we all have to get in TeamSpeak and Shane has to actually sing. So we'll let you decide.
Okay.
All right, moving on.
Probably chipping some cash to people who tell the best stories, and we just vote on it.
There you go.
And all right, Song from the Depths, members only quest set in Remington. It's going to be a standalone quest. The villagers of Remington have been falling afoul to what seems to be a strange spell. I read that as smell. One so potent that several of them have been asleep for days, even weeks, seemingly sharing a powerful dream. Hey. What does this remind you of? Some of them have been asleep for days, even weeks, seemingly sharing a powerful dream.
It reminds me of bad Disney songs. Bad
no.
Disney. Shane, I know what it is. No. We are not going there.
We are so close. Don't do it.
No, Shane.
I'm sorry.
Don't do it.
I will donate if you don't do it.
Do not do it. Resist the urge. Resist the urge. We could set a record. We could.
There we go.
Suppress nerd.
Okay, I'll allow it, but
well,
let's,
for
let's
anybody
don't do
wondering,
it on air.
There's a Star Trek Voyager episode named Waking Moments where they all share the same dream and they've been asleep for days. So
there you go. Jagex are closet Star Trek fans, just for Shane. Just for Shane. This should have said at the end of the behind the scenes. In other news, we thank Shane 12088 for his wonderful Star Trek knowledge and his love for the show. So this is why we made this quest.
Yes, so I'll be looking forward to that one. And also the Queen Black Dragon, which will drop the Dragon Kite Shield, and it's a solo-only boss.
What?
What?
Is a solo-only boss? Huh.
Yeah, you didn't read that in the thing?
Well, so in other words,
it's designed as a solo fight, so no hiding behind your friends as you run screaming from her vicious breath attacks. And you remember when the Chaos Elemental last spoke, we did mention the Dragon Kite Shield and the Queen Black Dragon. So that is true.
What are the only items left that aren't dragon that haven't been released? We have like the Warhammer, which I don't even know if that's going to be released.
Crossbow.
I'm not too worried about like javelins or spears or anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this might be it for the main items.
Yeah,
I wonder what the Dragon Kite Shield stats are going to be. If it will be better than the anti-fire one we're having right now.
No, it won't. It won't. Dragon is designed at this point to just be an iconic set of armor. It's not. It's level 60 defense. It's just going to be for looks good.
I wonder. I'm assuming it'll be tradable. I doubt it would be untradable.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So in other words, wait about a month after release because you don't want to pay 50 mil for something that's barely better than Rune. You know, I'm one to talk because I have full dragon and I do everything in full dragon just because I'm not much of a combat person. And I've just liked it since I've played. But
yeah,
that's
there
another
you go, story. And it looks good too. And they say you'll need a combat level 120 or higher to fight this and be successful. So that should be interesting.
So basically, we need to get high prayer for a soul split and whatnot, which I don't
have. I have level 95.
Yes, we know, Shane. And
I need to train that. That's actually my lowest skill right now. It's 80. I need to get that up.
Really? My lowest skill right now is 77, and it's tied between construction and smithing.
two of my 99s. But yes.
And also, this month, the Diamond Jubilee to celebrate the Queen's... course, being on the throne for 60 years. June 2nd is the actual day, so this, we can probably assume this will be the last update in the month. And there's going to be, say, a street party. The center of Rock will be teeming with new characters and creatures, all of whom are preparing for the arrival of a royal carriage, but not everything is ready. Big Ben and his team of organizers need help to follow a set of cryptic clues leading to a pile of diamond-themed rewards. Stalls will be filled with interesting new stockpiles, or stock-like fish and chips and corgis.
All of which you will probably be able to buy from Diego after the event has passed.
Yeah, probably. And for anybody wondering, corgis is a Welsh dog used for herding sheep. So it's going to be a pet.
Yes.
Anyways, I'm quite excited with May, and you know, May was kicked off to a good start with RuneSpan, so here's to a good month.
Definitely.
Yay. Technically,
yeah, technically RuneSpan was released
in April. Last day of April.
Anyways, we got a little news posting here released today on Friday from Mark Gerhard, the CEO, regarding Squeal of Fortune. Basically, he says it's been 2 months since they've released Squeal of Fortune, and we wanted to take the opportunity to respond to some player feedback and correct some misconceptions about the popularity of the update, motivations behind the update, and importantly, also outline why it's here to stay. First off, I want to say thank you to everybody who has sent us feedback about the recent Squeal of Fortune. It was designed to be a fun and lighthearted feature in RuneScape. As with all content in RuneScape, they went to ensure that the Squeal of Fortune would enhance player experience without undermining the game for the, or whatever, without undermining what makes the game special for millions of players each day. They say they've succeeded in both. They also recognize the community has mixed feelings, and while they spend a great deal of time and effort creating game experiences that resonate with the majority of players, the reality is that due to the epic size of the community, it isn't possible to please everyone. And they say that the majority of the people do find that Squeal of Fortune is a good thing. And as we've mentioned numerous times in the past, I like Squeal of Fortune. My only issue with it is the fact that there's no age gate on purchasing spins. And they also say that they have taken in some of the consideration and added credit card protection for people who want to purchase spins as well. So it's not as dangerous as it used to be, which is good. And they say that they've always been rewarded for doing the right thing in the long run. And the reality is that today the game is not only consistently improving, but our community steadily grows year on year. So they know they're doing something right. So they feel that they're on the right track with this. And they say that, naturally, the team and I are sad that some players are upset about their free spins, and some also don't like the ability to purchase additional spins. The reality is that 90% of members enjoy Squeal on a daily basis, and 70% utilize it on utilize it on a daily basis as well, making some of the most widely appreciated content released to date. And the majority of players continue to take advantage of the many free ways to earn extra spins, which is what I said when the purchasable spins first came out. And also, people say that it has a real-world trading side effect. Gambling or using Squeal of Fortune, by the way, success is simply not true. Impossible, given the design of the system. While we have seen most players take advantage of the new rewards and many choosing to purchase extra spins, we have not witnessed any abuse of the system, despite monitoring it extremely closely.
I'm not going to go and rant about it, but I do have a few quick thoughts. I do kind of question where they're getting their figures on the majority of the people enjoy this update. I'm not saying anything bad against people that do, because it's opinion, but the forums, I don't think I've been able to scrounge up three consistent threads that were praising the update. Anyway, moving away from that.
Wait, one sec. That's interesting. We should compare notes of what type of people we talk to, because pretty much everyone I talk to that I've known for a decent amount of years said they like the Squeal update.
Anyway, yeah, it's up for debate, but since we're pressed for time, we won't get into it now. But another thing, just to point out, he says that over 90% of members enjoy the update and 70% of free players enjoy the update. He says that he has interesting wording there because, you know, sure, I have a little bit of bias because I'm not exactly for the update, but he says they enjoy it. Okay, 90%. It's because they use it. I mean, sure, most of my friends don't like it, but they're still going to, you know, take advantage of it, if that makes sense. You know, if you get like mm-hmm. an opportunity for free stuff, sure, I'll do it, but that doesn't mean I enjoy doing it, or just because I use it doesn't mean I support the update. I'm just doing it because it's there, type of thing. But yeah, just a couple, you know, just some food for thought, but you know, it's up for debate, and that can be another show, that can be another discussion, but anyway.
Yeah, and also he says that with the launch of RuneSpan Monday, major graphical performance issue yesterday, which has already seen a significant portion of the community benefit from over 100% improvement in game frame rate, it should be evident that we're gearing up for one of our most exciting and biggest content years ever, including a complete upgrade to the combat system later this summer.
Should be interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, I give him credit for coming out and addressing this. It's good for a CEO of a company to do that. And
It was a smart thing to do. I mean, regardless of what position he took, and I think he was very tactful in what he said. Because, you know, like I said, I've been reading the, you know, IRIS official forums, and most of the people that are bashing, you know, prove a good point. There really hasn't been any sort of feedback from any sort of authority figure.
Yeah, sure, and this is good that we have mods. This now.
Right, you have forum mods saying, oh, just wait, they're collecting feedback. Okay, well, they've been, quote, collecting feedback for, you know, 2 months. You know, I think it's time for someone just to... Well, forum mods, granted, obviously, don't work for the company. But still, we still haven't gotten a concrete, hey, this is where we're at. You know, I still think they could have been a little more transparent in the whole thing and, you know, just... communicating and just giving us an update on the feedback instead of just saying mm-hmm. we're collecting feedback. Yeah, well, you said that in every single post you've done. Just say, well, we're analyzing it and blah blah blah. Just give us some sort of update. But I, you know, they gotta come out sometime, and they did, and you know, you gotta respect it for what it's worth. So,
yep. And you know, if he had made this post last week or a week and a half ago when the updated prices for purchasing spins came out, I likely might not have had as much of a problem with the fact you could spend $100 purchasing spins when it just felt like too much like gambling to me.
Oh, yeah. And I think...
You know, you spend money on it and you can't guarantee that you're going to actually get decent stuff based on how the chances are worded. But, you know... Like I said, it's just that was just my personal opinion, and I think it's ultimately Squeal is a good update to have.
Yeah, it's a good update. I just feel like they could have done it in a way to, I mean, regardless of their intent, it's pretty obvious kind of where they're going and how people could pick up on it. I mean, they push it so hard, and they're, you know, the whole, they really gave people the wrong idea with being able to purchase spins for real money. And like you said, that's a gambling issue, and you know, that's a real touchy subject. And it's not the fact that it's ruining the in-game economy really, but it's the fact that, you know, you're not guaranteed something. And they, like I said, they focus so much on trying to, it just the vibe I get is they're just trying to like suck you in. Whether or not that's what it is, I'm not pointing fingers or accusing. I'm just saying that's the impression I get. They're trying to suck you in, because if you're in free to play or something and you get a member's item, you know, first thing, boom, you want to upgrade to members. It's like, whoa, like chill out type of thing. You know, it just seems like you come here, we have candy type of thing. But again, I'm not going to get all, you know, I'm not going to accuse everybody, but that's just my thoughts. So,
okay. Well, granted, it is a good thing that he addressed this, and I give him 100% credit for doing this, and I think that's a good attribute of a successful CEO.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, one more thing, just quickly, before we move on to the questions, as I said, big update this week, so emphasis entirely on RS, practically. RuneScape will be at MCM, which is kind of like a Comic-Con type thing in London. So that's going to be later this month in May. And they're saying that you can still purchase tickets to go there if you want, or you can take part in one or two of their contests. First one requiring you to take a picture of a RuneScape-related costume you'll be wearing and send them a picture, mm-hmm. or just tell them why you think you should get free tickets to this. You have until May 13th to fill both of these out.
Why lie? I don't have a reason. I just want the tickets. There you go.
Yeah, well, the question is, would they pay for your flight, too?
Right.
I would.
Tickets are one thing, but I'm you know, flying overseas, at least from where we are, that's probably going to be more than actual tickets, so they're not really doing as much of a favor, but it's, you know, it's still out there. But,
well, that's when you're lucky to have family members who works for the airport.
The prize is tickets only. It does not include travel or accommodation.
Gotcha. So it would be good if someone lived in, you know, England, but someone that lives in the States or Canada, well, I don't know, might want to reconsider.
That's when you have family members that work for United and get you free airfare.
See, there you go.
I should have been a pilot.
Yeah.
Shane, doing the update. We're doing the update now from the cockpit, so...
No, actually, if Shane was a pilot, I'm pretty sure the first thing he would do is, you know, get a bunch of liberals on the plane, fly toward a mountain, then jump off at the last minute.
Bits and bytes.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Yes, you would.
No, I wouldn't. Anyways, questions now. We got an audio question this week. It's from Clamsy, so I'll play that right now.
Hey guys, it's Clamsy here. I have a couple questions for you. The first one is, you know the blue font that appears in your clan chat? Well, am I the only one that thinks it's almost impossible to read without squinting your eyes? And the other question is, what are the uses of runecrafting? Is it really worth training, especially with the new RuneSpan that came out? Thanks, guys.
All right, so the font for chat channel, I don't think it's that big of an issue because first things first, the chat channel isn't changing from every time. You should know what chat channel you're in. Granted, it might look a little weird, but, you know, that's one of the side effects of using the full window is that it's got a transparent thing. So it would be nice if you could change it if they changed it based on what the color was that you were running in the for your main text, but I don't see it as that big of a deal.
Right. As I, you know, as I was saying as well, and Shane brings up a good point, adapting that, you know, as if, you know, you're in God Wars, it stays dark. But if you're in Polypore Dungeon or if you're in Curdell's Dungeon, you know, where it's kind of a dark, you know, bluish, tealish atmosphere, that it would actually change to maybe, you know, a cyan color or white or something. But again, it's, you know, it's not like it's changing all the time. If you really need to find it when you join the channel, you should be on that tab anyway and just give a quick glance. But still, yeah.
Yep. Okay, so what is runecrafting good for? Davem, you can, of course, take this.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's safe to say we sort of covered it earlier. Runecrafting, practical use is going to be for money now. It's not the best money in the game, but I mean, it's an alternative. You know, you can either go to God Wars or you can runecraft or you can woodcut magics. You know, you can make money with almost every skill. You make money with Slayer. It's just personal preference. I've obviously, you know, I have over 21 million experience. I've taken liking to runecrafting and doing that for money. So, I mean, I wouldn't say it's, yes, it's useful. No, it's not. It is to whatever your play style. But yeah, it definitely has its place. So,
okay. Thank you, Clamsy. And for anybody else who wants to send an audio question, you can do just as Clamsy did by sending an audio file to questions@rsvmb.com or leaving us a voicemail on our Google Voice number, which is 571-572-2632, or translated as 571-57BNB. And finally, there's a third option. Leave us a voicemail on Skype as the username rsbnbupdate, and just leave us a voicemail there. All right, Trekkie, you can read the first text question.
This is from Tagger. Hey, host, I plan on making commentaries this summer. Ooh.
They're after you.
Sorry, boy. Okay. Police car went by. Anyway, I plan on making commentaries this summer. As I previously mentioned, but I have seemed to have more run, but I have, I seem to have run into a problem. I currently just have a $20 headset that needs replacing. I was wondering if I had any suggestions on good mic at a decent price. I'm looking at a Snowball at the moment, but I'll be betting this time I don't want to use $70 on a mic when I'm brand new.
Well, this is another question for me and Dave. I'll tell you what you can do at the entry line. Just get one of those Logitech-type headsets that's USB. Those have decent enough sound quality if you're just getting started. So that's what I'd recommend to get started with, just a basic USB headset. I like the Logitech one. I have one from a few years ago. I think it's the ClearChat Comfort or something along the lines of that. So that's what I'd say for that. And I think the Snowball is a pretty good mic, but I think Dave can tell you what you would want to do for a decent mic that won't break the bank.
Yeah, I mean, well, Shane pretty much hit the nail on the head. Your main thing is if you're just starting out, you have the right idea. You don't want to spend too much on something that and you're just doing like commentaries. I'm not degrading that in any manner, but I mean, it's just, it's just voice and just simple recording without crackling. Should be fine with what Shane said. I have a higher end mic right now. It's not a headset. It's like a professional audio mic, but I'm into audio engineering and do all that stuff as a hobby. Definitely not worth buying now. It's not a USB. It goes through all, I'll get real technical here for you. It's a condenser mic, XLR cable goes into a FireWire interface, and that goes into my MacBook, which I'm on right now. Way too much money for what you're doing.
Mind blown what you just said.
Anyway, stick with a USB mic, Logitech, just something real simple until you find your forte and what you're going to be doing. And if you don't like something about that microphone, consider it for an upgrade. But yeah, Shane definitely knows what you're talking about in that range. And he does more voice, obviously, updates, stuff like that, as to where I do more music. So, I mean, we do have a different sort of specs for what we look for in mics. So, yeah, definitely.
Yours is, which one are you using again? Just tell me again.
It's a MXL 990. It's a professional quality.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's the same one I'm using, except mine's USB.
There you go. I just have a little bit more stuff on mine. But yeah, definitely. It's
how much did that one cost you, Devo?
It was about $150, $200.
Wow. So, I got mine on sale for $100. And they sent me two of them for the price of one.
I remember you messaged me on Skype. You're like, guess what? I got two mics. I was like, you sending it back? And you're like, oh, gosh. Lucky you. Hey, you should have sent me it. Instead.
Well, you needed XLR for your setup.
Right.
So that wouldn't
right.
really work for you.
Yeah.
You could have sent one to me before, but okay.
We'll talk later.
Yes.
Right.
All right. Next one is from the German. Hello, Shane, Trekkie, and Devo. Recently, I've started taking an Uncle Dano-like look at RuneScape. Now, when I play, I wanted to try to be more like the German, Noble Knight of Guthix, and less of Kevin, Noble Nerd of much soda and football. Do you think RuneScape needs more players like Uncle Dano? Personally, I think Gilinar would be a much better place if it had more knights and less angry gamers calling each other vulgar names and playing only for statistics. Danke, the German, / Kevin. I completely agree.
Yeah, I would have to say that as well. Without sounding like a complete shut-in, and I think the goal of every game developer, besides like Grand Theft Auto, thank God. For example, Skyrim. Everyone was so. Still is crazy about the game, and I love it. I haven't played it that much, but it's really a game you can just pardon the hokiness of this, but you can just pop it in, turn off all the lights, and you just immerse yourself in the game. And I think that's what's good, and that's what some games lack. And I think it's especially difficult with this sort of game, like you said, where people just play to get XP and grind. And I'm going to come out and say I'm guilty of that, because that's one of the reasons I play the game. But I think that's a very good mindset, just being involved in the game, and that's what makes a good game. And you can really get a different perspective, and it's just all part of the deal. So definitely.
Yep. So you know, definitely I think that there are more people needed like that. To give an example, last night I was at the Waterfins collecting Crimson Charms, and this guy's like, are you a bot? I think all these other people here are bots. I'm like, no, I'm not a bot, and that's not a good assumption to make. And he says, why? With a, like, why? Letter Y? Question mark. And he's like, well, I forget what the exact line was, but it went something. I just said that's a bad assumption to make. And I said, people aren't, just because they don't say anything, aren't bots. And he's like, what? It's like he didn't even understand that. So, you know, there are more people needed to actually play at a decent level and immerse themselves in the game, like you're suggesting here, Mr. German.
Also, another thing I'd like to add, I don't know, probably you, a lot of you don't know, I'm studying architecture major. I'm a junior in college. And the idea has crossed my mind, like, I wouldn't say theme park, but just like an area, I guess, of just like life-size buildings. You know, like, I'm not, you know, I don't mean to totally nerd out here, but I would definitely go to a place that was like modeled after Varrock, because it would just be so cool. You know, I played this game for 7 years. How cool would it be to like actually be standing at the fountain type of thing? It's just a whole perspective, and you could just like, you know, and I didn't want to use theme park because I didn't want to have like, oh, it's the Grand Exchange roller coaster. Like, no, it's just kind of like a gathering area. Just, you know, kind of cool. Just another aspect of immersing yourself into the game. And I think it would be like really cool to like, you know, from my standpoint on architecture, like design buildings that are modeled after RuneScape stuff, you know, just the castles, or, you know, I just think it would be really cool, but that's just my little 2 cents.
All right. Trek, do you have anything on this one?
Not really. But I think having duplicates of Uncle Dano may cause some temporal anomalies within the game, though. Just saying. All right, let's move on.
All right, Dave, read the last question.
All right. Hebro, Dare, Shane, Twicky, and Dave-O. If you could design your own update for RuneScape, it can be anything you want, what would it be? Thanks for answering, Zant.
I want Chewbacca.
Oh, God.
I want my Wookiee.
Anyway.
Well, I guess you can familiar? Have that since I got Captain Picard.
And you got
what would that too. What would that be? Level, that would be level 120 summoning. You can summon a Wookiee. How about that?
No.
All right, level one. How about that?
No. I would actually make it that you go into the woods and all of a sudden a big hairy monster comes out. It's like, do not fear, I'm Chewie. You have any jerky on you? And then you start a little questing going on. I want Chewbacca. And I'm like, oh yeah, there's a falcon over there. And, you know, you can have some Ham Solo.
Okay.
Come on, Shane. You had your Picard and you had your Sirach. And I said, after Picard came out, I said, I want my Wookiee.
Okay. Are you finished then?
Shane, you are not allowed to mention any more Star Trek related parodies in this game. At the moment, anyway.
As if that would happen, unfortunately.
Okay, Dave, what do you want for an update? Since aside, because you probably already got your dream update, but if you can
well,
add anything else,
what I would say it's up there. I was thinking about this before the show. I really couldn't come up with much, but I would say one of two things. I'm kind of a graphics nerd. I really like particle effects in the game. I wish they would incorporate more with stuff. I thought it was really cool how they updated the skill capes. You know, I wouldn't call it an update on its own, but I think they could add particle effects or some. I really like the bloom effects also. I really like how the RuneScape graphics has come along since the release of RS2. So I definitely think they could do more with that. That would be really cool. Also, content-wise, I would say they could really use some work on construction. Again, coming from an architecture major, there's not much construction in building furniture. I feel like that should be a part of crafting, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
I build a chair, okay.
You're
an
IKEA,
like,
man.
That's right. That's a arts and crafts type thing. If I'm going to have construction, make it so I build my house You know, it's like instead of just, oh, I'll put a room here, you know, have pour like a foundation. You know, you don't have to get into like the nitty gritty, all that stuff. But I just feel like there could be more around house building than house furnishing. So I think they could definitely use some work there and rework how that goes together and add more stuff like that. But that would be mine. So.
Okay. I got about three updates I'd like to see. If they could be anything I want. The first thing I'd like to see would be a complete overhaul of the main game interface.
Yeah.
Get rid of the font.
Yeah, the font, that's a horrible thing. For example, some of the fonts used on there is just bloody inconsistent, which is really annoying. But also, change the interface, because you have this game interface that was designed for RuneScape 2 and then just split apart when RSHD with the resizable window came out. So essentially, it's using an interface that doesn't really work in my view. So what I'm going to be doing for this month's Informer article is actually coming up with a user interface design mock-up about how they could update the interface and have it be more modern and just more usable overall. Because if you think about it, It's just, there's so much wasted space on that interface. It could just be made a whole lot more efficient and easier for people to use. So that's one thing I'd really like to see. Another thing I'd like to see would be an update to the farming skill in order to ensure that allotment farming is useful at the higher levels, because, you know, allotment farming ceases to be useful at around level 60 and you just have to go for the tree route. I'd like to see a way to train farming up that doesn't require planting trees in the high levels, so 70s, 80s, and 90s, that isn't as fast as tree farming, but still is
still relatively supplemental, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the third thing I'd like to see is a redo of the old RS Classic skills, specifically smithing and crafting, because right now those skills are so completely useless in that everything that a player wants to wear for armor-based is just purchasable on the Grand Exchange from a monster drop or something. Mm-hmm. So what I'm thinking of is have smithing and crafting be the ranged and magic set of armors, and smithing, of course, be for the melee combat. And what you do is you do something similar to extreme potions, in which you have a certain type of resource that you get from mining it. You also have a certain type of resource that you get from doing a specific quest, and that quest is limited in this, per day, in the same way that the red sandstone is limited. And you also have a higher level requirement. So combining those three kind of things together, you would get this armor that would be better than Barrow's armor and better than God War's armor. And it would encourage people to train these other skills and actually use them within their game. And then, of course, you'd have this untradeable armor, kind of like you have untradeable extreme potions and whatnot.
So then that's a good point. Because I totally overlooked that, being both, I'm ashamed because having both 99 mining and smithing. But I remember, I don't think it was 2 years ago, maybe year and a half, there was talk of a major smithing rework. Now, I can't really recall, but didn't
it's
that just
on the
kind
radar.
Of go away? Because I remember
that. It's on the radar
that,
in the future for something, but the rework you were hearing about then turned out to be last year's Artisan Workshop.
That's right. That's it. Okay. I knew I discounted it for some reason because something came out. And that came out, and I was very disappointed because, like you said, and I think that everyone's observed, you know, you have the smithing tables, and then once you get 99, you basically make, you know, four different things. It's like, and in you know, Classic, that was like, whoa, you have rune armor. You're
exactly.
Now it's like, wow, did you just get off Tutorial Island? But we won't get into that because it's a quest now. But moving on.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying with this, is take smithing and crafting back to how it was in RS Classic, to the point where this armor could only be made by having those high-level skills, and go a step further like they did with the extreme potions and make them non-tradable.
Right, and I would even say, you might want to make combine smelting with like mining, and don't make mining so monotonous to where here's a rock, tink, 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 iron. give it a little bit more depth. Give you like some a pure iron deposit, and then you have a iron fragment, and then you can like combine them together to make different types of bars and stuff. As opposed to just got an iron thing, give me two coal, steel, boom. It's just like it's so like cookie cutter stuff. I think they could really give more depth to not only mining, but I'm not going to go and analyze every skill, but definitely just to other skills. Just instead of just like caught a swordfish, caught a tuna. Give it a little bit more depth. I think we're going in the direction. I think their idea of updating something is just making it easier to train faster. Well, give us more variety. Kind of like with RuneSpan, it gives us more variety. Give more variety over making it quicker and just give more depth to the skill.
And let's also remember that we're going on 12 years since these skills were first designed. So
exactly
when RuneScape first came out, mining and whatnot, so and smithing. So there needs to be an update to them at some point.
Right. And not just a mini game, like content doesn't exactly mean I was very underwhelmed with the Artisan's Workshop. Give us like different stuff to mine, different stuff to smith, like physical things to train, not just a different method, but just introduce more items and that whole thing. But I'm repeating myself, so
yeah. And it would greatly improve the game, and it'd be like a RuneSpan type of update. It wouldn't eclipse the old way of doing it, but it would change the way people think about the skill, which is what I think they need to do at this stage in the game, because the skills are so old that people need to have a fresh look at them.
I feel like whenever they release new content, like a new item or something, they feel like they have to create like this new area or this new quest and just like make it its own thing. Like, there's nothing wrong with just adding stuff to the existing game. Don't go overboard to where you redesign the map like Taverly. That's still a sore spot with me, but again, won't get into that. But if you do introduce new ores, slap them in Varrock, slap them in Ardoin, slap them in Taverly. Just put them all over. Don't like make some new Slayer dungeon. It's just you just keep adding on and adding on. All they're doing is just increasing the map and just adding on and adding on. Give to what's there. Improve what's there before you start expanding this to Wazoo, But, yeah.
All right. So that's it for questions. So thank you, everybody, for sending in questions. I promise next week we should be able to do more questions, assuming that the Bonfire update isn't as groundbreaking as RuneSpan was.
Well, we're hoping it is.
So, anyways, more questions for next week, and we'll answer as many as we can. And for those of you wondering, questions can be posted on our forums, rsbnb.com/forums, and the topic is usually up by midday Monday, so that's where you can post your text questions. All right, tech news. So, this week, Samsung unveiled their Galaxy S3.
I'm an iPhone user, so I'm just going to keep quiet.
Okay. Well, I think...
Plus, I don't really know much about it, but if you have stuff, go for it.
Okay. I was going to say, as iPhone users, we should take a look at this to see what a future iPhone could look like. It's a 4.8-inch Super AMOLED display with 720p resolution, 8-megapixel camera. iPhone 4S already has that, and it runs Ice Cream Sandwich.
Yay, sandwich!
So the point of this phone is that it's the next generation of phone that Samsung is releasing. And I'm guessing the focus is going to be on the screen and what's coming inside of it. But I don't see where these phones can go in the future, because do we really need quad core in a phone?
No, that's the thing. I mean, this could be said for any sort of mobile device. I mean, even iPad and stuff. But I mean, I could see it more on iPad. But yeah, like this processing power is like unreal. And like it's like, okay, we're gonna have like an i7 in our pocket watch. It's like, wow. Let's put that somewhere where it's needed. It's a little overkill.
But the thing is, these chips are designed to be low power, so they really can't be used anywhere else. That's just the way it's going.
I just, we're in the technology age now to where like we're just our technology is evolving so fast, like, we can't even pick up, and it's just getting so far ahead. Like I said, we're going to have, like, i7s in our wristwatch. It's like, why do we need that much power? Like, you're not playing Battlefield 3 on ultra settings. It's just, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, this is just the next generation of the phone. I think it looks interesting, and the tech is nice, but I think this is going to be eclipsed by the next iPhone when it comes out, even if people take a look at that, or if that's just a given that, you know, the iPhone is the one that everybody's still trying to target.
Yeah, I'm all for forward motion. I'm not saying we need to slow down. I'm just saying it's like the competition, like you said, you know, this is going to come out, okay, iPhone's going to come out and, you know, eclipse it, and it's just going to be, it's always the next best thing in a year, and that's the thing. I've had an iPhone since the 3G. You know, I got the 3G, and then the 3GS came out. I didn't get that. And then when the 4 came out, you know, that's when I realized.
You got the 4?
Yes. I pre-ordered the 4, and I got it delivered to my house the day it was. Why? Because I knew Apple came out with one every year, and, you know, I'm not going to get it the next year.
Yep.
But my mindset is I want to have it for the maximum amount of time before I want to upgrade. You know, and that's the thing. Apple, you know, I don't mean to go off on a tangent, but Apple's got the whole thing. It's kind of trying to switch up the market and discourage the whole holiday thing. Because, you know, why would I want to get an iPad 2 at Christmas when I know the next one is coming? It's going to be announced in March type of thing.
And
you know,
the iPad 3 is a very, very nice upgrade.
It is. And I'm really considering about getting one in the next month or so. So I'll be talking to you about that, I'm sure. So anyway.
Yeah. That was a bit of a tangent for us, but
yes.
I'm sorry.
Especially for tech news.
Trekkie, it's your job to keep us on track here because
you
got two Apple users and you're the lone Android user here.
I like my Android. I hate Apple. I hate the iPhone.
So why don't you upgrade to one of these S3s then?
It's a little thing called I'm on a contract and I don't need something.
Right, that's true.
I mean, quad core. I'm happy with.
Think it's quad core. I don't think it's quad core. No, I said that'll be later this year. Anyways,
processing film may not be up to everyone's liking, but the quad core processor and improved voice control feature show that Samsung's flagship Android has staying power.
Samsung's what has staying power?
Samsung's flagship Android line has staying power.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, if I was to get an Android phone, it would be one of the Samsung ones. I don't think I will. I think the next one will be iPhone 5, but I will have that contract issue whenever that happens. So I hope I'll be able to work around that. But in any case, moving on. The new Yahoo CEO has fake data on his resume.
Yay! I read about this. It was actually really interesting.
Yeah, so how do you hire a CEO of one of these big companies and determine that he has wrong information on the resume?
I checked it. They checked their degree, hit the person's degree, and was like, "Hey, you're missing class here." But there was, so basically, I'm saying that because he doesn't have a computer science degree, he's not qualified to run a CEO.
You know, I don't think you that. Is that what the issue is here?
Thanks. I remember something similar to that. He doesn't have a computer science degree, and that's what the people were getting on about him about.
I mean, management is management. I mean, you know, I could get a degree in history and then go to run an ice cream shop and, you know, be the next, you know, Ben and Jerry's. You know, I mean, it's not like he's going to be a code monkey for Yahoo. I mean, if he has a management degree, you can go into anything. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, it's when it gets down the line to the specialized, like I said, code monkeys, web developers, where that really matters. You can't have some burger flipper in there, you know, running your servers, but, you know.
The issue is apparently that it was listed as that he has a bachelor's degree in marketing and economics from Illinois State, but Yahoo then clarified that he received a bachelor's degree in business administration with specialties in marketing and economics. So I'm guessing what this is what the whole snafu is about.
So basically, actually, they're overreacting. Basically, he still has the qualifications. He's just misread or, you know, lied about it. But I mean, it's, I'm not justifying it, but it's like, really, guys? Come on.
But, you know, here's the other thing that we have to also remember. What does Bill Gates and Steve Jobs both have in common?
Yeah, they dropped out of high
school. They dropped out.
Exactly. And look what happened to them. They became multi-billionaires and, you know, they own more money than most you know, entire cities have, you know, in combined.
That's my view on something. Just because you have a degree by no means means you're an expert. You just have a piece of paper. You just – a degree basically, unless it's highly, highly specialized, a degree basically tells the employer you can be trained and you've gone through 4 years of training and you're capable of being trained. Because if you go to you know, if you get your computer science degree – Shane, I'm sure you can correct me. I'm just giving a blanket statement here. If you get a computer science degree and you go to work for Facebook, you don't know what you're going to do at Facebook. You're going to be going through training things at Facebook, and they're going to teach you their style of programming, and you'll learn there. And having a degree is a certificate. I'm getting my bachelor's degree in architecture. I have a basic knowledge, but if I go and work for a firm, if I start my own firm, I'm going to have a learning curve of how they work, and they look at my degree and say, he can be trained, we want him. So
actually, it's funny that you mentioned this. My teacher back in high school said something similar. He said something like, you know, going to school basically means you are able to process the information. Right. Everything else is OJT. You will learn everything when you're on the job.
Oh my gosh, 90% of job skills are learned on the job, not college. And that's just, you know, another tangent, IQ. Everyone's like, oh, IQ is how smart you are. No, IQ is the capacity of your brain and how much your potential to learn. So that all ties in, but yeah.
I don't think at all, like, I think this is something that they'll be able to point to in the future, that Yahoo had these kind of problems. And, you know, this is why Yahoo is struggling, because we all know Yahoo is not exactly in the best position these days. With regards to everything, so this could just be a scapegoat. But any case, moving on to something more interesting and perhaps bit dangerous. But go ahead.
Kids, remember, kids, do get your college degree, because it's still better than just a high school degree.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying anything against college. I'm just saying, you know, a degree is a blanket statement that you do need.
Let's go. Quick. Facebook.
What?
Evil go. Facebook. Let's go.
Shane, oh, yes, go. yes. Yeah, so Facebook has revealed its price range per share for its initial offering between $28 and $35, which ups the maximum size of its offering to $13.6 billion, up from its previous $5 billion estimate. So Facebook currently has about 2.1 billion shares outstanding. So if the IPO prices were at the top of the range, the company would be just valued shy of $75 billion.
I bet you within the first week, their stocks will jump up to maybe $50 a share.
Oh, probably. And you know, this whole thing scares me for two reasons. Yeah. first reason being that, you know, I don't think they'll be you can try and say they're focused on their users now, but even if this was the case, I don't think they'd be focused on it after this. And the second thing, this is just a bad thing for the market to have a company like this valued at $75 billion potentially. Let's also take a look at some of the other interesting things in the past 2 weeks that went on in this world. Facebook bought Instagram for $1 billion. Evernote, I used it as my pick a few weeks ago, got another $1 billion of funding. So we're seeing all this money go into these kind of tech things, but what happens if this little thing pops? I mean, $75 billion, that's a huge amount of money. I mean, if Facebook were to tank at some point, it's no longer at the point where all these little tech startups are just, if they disappear, are going to cause no effect on the economy. They're going to be having big, big impacts, I think, at least. So this is just something we need to be very careful about and watch what you're doing with your money at this stage, I think. Well, not that we have any stock investors in our audience, but...
Well, just saying, you know, high risk, high reward, but know what the risks are.
Yeah.
There's a risk in everything you do. And my friend who's an accountant likes to play stock market, and I can assure you that I've told him many, many times, you can bet money, but don't bet the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So I just don't think we're going to see much through this. I give it until this November or early next spring until we start seeing some kind of downturn in the tech industry. Because if you think about it, ever since 2005, the tech industry has just been going up, up, and up, and up. So, I don't know. Dave, you have anything on this one?
Nope.
All right. Moving on to other things then, including a Skill of the Month update for May. I got the wrong title in the notes, but I will fix that later. So the May Skill of the Month is Dungeoneering, which is currently in the lead by the Lion 777, and it looks like we still got a 5-way race going on. So that's a good thing. Currently in first place, we have the Lion with 193,000 experience gained. Second place is Sunset Fish with 187,000 experience gained. And third is Metal Maniac with 180,000 gained. Fourth is Jason with 137,000 gained. And fifth is Adiv with 106,000 XP gained. And all these people have been on the up and up. And there hasn't been a lead change yet. But Metal Maniac has shot up to number three in the last day. So it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. Oh, and for the record, there's also about 12 people who have not got XP yet. So please get some kind of Dungeoneering XP if you're listening to this and you're signed up. Anything else on that?
Nope.
Achievements of the week. We just got one this week. Poison Nova with 99 magic on April 28th. So congratulations to you.
I want to get that cape. I've just been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. So, yes, kudos to you. I will hopefully be following in your footsteps soon.
It's, you know, he'll be at Rinspan. But...
yeah.
You know, I got 99 magic, and I'm glad I did it. It helps with now. It makes sense to get 99 magic because the higher your magic level, the higher you hit. So it's a good 99 to get. But I, for some reason, just don't like getting 99s unless the skill has a certain meaning to me. But nonetheless, good job, Poison Nova.
Yes.
Shane hates many things.
What was that?
Nothing.
All right. I believe someone has a pick for us this week.
Yeah. This is kind of a shameless self-plug, but you guys have probably realized I haven't been too active on the forums the past, like, 6-9 months or so, or on RuneScape at all. Not only school, but I've actually, some of you know, I have a musical background. Musician, I'm a drummer, vocalist, songwriter, and I work with some audio engineering and stuff. Actually been recording and producing my band's first fully original album. We actually released it about 3 weeks ago. It is on iTunes. You guys check it out. We're Endline, E-N-D-L-I-N-E, one word. Name of the album is Letters of Remembrance. Just to give you guys a sort of a sample, if you like the intro and outro of the update, I did write both of those, and that's kind of my general style. So if you like that sort of stuff, definitely check us out. That'd be awesome. We got a Facebook page, Facebook/Endline Band, one word. Also got a Twitter at Official Endline, but definitely check us out if you like what you hear. Let me know in game, Davo338. Shoot me a message. Tell me what you think. Tell your friends. Just trying to get ourselves out there, but yeah, definitely appreciate it. So thank you.
Okay, you know, you could have done that at the end of the show. And just mentioned that, but do you have another pick? Since we always let people mention stuff like that, do you have another pick? Yeah. You said that you could use as well.
This may be a little late, but I'll do two. It's probably been talked about already. Mass Effect 3, definitely my favorite video game series, console-wise. Great game. Lots of controversy on the ending. I didn't hate it. It definitely has our interpretation, but I kind of get the deeper meaning and stuff, so it made a little bit of sense to me. Really great game. I definitely recommend it. Also,
after that. This hasn't come out yet, but I'm really looking forward to Diablo 3. I think everybody is. We've been waiting, what, like 14 years for a third one? But definitely going to be pre-order that. I'm going to be playing that a lot later this month. So, yes, definitely. Something to look forward to.
Yeah, I really have no interest in Diablo 3.
What is it? What is Diablo 3? Is it like
It's a like a platformer by Blizzard, kind of like a more of a demon.
It's a dungeon crawler.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I was looking for. Dungeon crawler made by Blizzard. So,
alrighty then. Thank you for both of those, Dave. And we'll make sure everybody gets a link to check out your work on iTunes.
Awesome! Awesome.
All right, just one more or two more things before we wrap this up and say what we've been doing. First up, the Informer Roundup for the month of May is out, so you can head on over to informer.rsbnb.com and find out what everyone's been up to this month and enjoy some of the articles that we've written. We had a vast majority of our articles on Squeal of Fortune, so I will just say that. One saying yes, it's a good thing. One saying no, it's a bad thing. One on the fence kind of thing. So definitely take a read if you're interested in that. And we also had a few gaming articles this month, which I did neglect to mention. One very good one on political correctness and the other on games of the 90s. I will be adding an addendum onto that post because I was messaged the other day and I said, where's the gaming articles? I forgot to mention those because I was too excited to introduce our new Informer writer, Jason. So, anyways, and one thing relating to the production of RSBNB Update, for those of you guys who are listening to this in the audio version, you might not find some form of use of this, but on the RSBNB YouTube channel, there is a copy of RSBNB Update there, which does have... static picture on the background just in order to have another way for you to listen to the show should you want to do that. So you can find it there. And in the future, we will be going towards a more video kind of thing. As I mentioned last week, we are in the process of working out all the kind of hiccups in the production process as to what comes first and whatnot. This week, there should be some kind of video up on there. But links will be in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com to find this. All right. So what have you guys been up to this week?
Runespan.
Oh, forward. Yes. Need we go through this segment.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead 80, if you're not finished.
I got 80 runecrafting, and I did a little bit of a Citadel. That's pretty much it. But I'm happy with the 80 good runecrafting. Good not to get to 83, then 85, then 90, 91, and so on and so on.
For me, semester's obviously coming to a close, as probably is everyone, within the next month. I got 2 days left. This week has – the past 2 weeks have been pretty crazy. Been working on research papers, final projects. This week particularly, been AFKing Runespan. As I mentioned earlier, just got finished producing and recording and doing all that stuff with my band's album. Free time. I'm working on new material. Actually, if this album does go over well and you guys like it, we will definitely be making a second one. I've got lots of new material. And hopefully on the second one, I am working on the intro and the outro of the update, and I do have words for them, so they'll definitely be in song form, so definitely look forward to that. But yeah, that's
basically... Well, that'll be interesting.
Yes, it'll be good fun. So yeah, that's basically what I'm doing. Looking forward to summer. I got 2 days left of class, and hopefully get more music writing and RuneScape, and just enjoy no school. Right.
Yep. All right. Well, as for me, RuneSpan. And but beside that, just gathering charms, still going for 88 summoning. I think I'm about half the way there, but I'm trying to figure out how this bonus XP thing will work so I know if I have enough charms or what the heck's going on, whether it's 250k for a total of 500k or 125k for a total of 250k. If it was the first one, I'd be set as it is right now, but I'm not sure. So I, as you can see, that's why I have a vested interest in that. That's pretty much it for this episode of RSBNB Update. Remember that, of course, show notes and whatnot are available at update.rsbnb.com. You can also find all the other good RSBNB features on the main website, rsbnb.com. Favorites there, like the Grand Exchange portfolios, House Designer, our map, the new signatures, the personal skill signatures. So,
yeah, and definitely if you're a new listener, don't be afraid to join the forums. Get to know us. We're pretty cool people. Not to be conceited at all, but it's a really good community. Definitely just come by, say hey, let us know you listen. Just, you know, I'm always up to make new friends, so yeah, pop on in.
Yep. So, hope to see you there. Have a good week, everyone. See you next week.
See ya.
Have fun.